in Skodak, and if we do that, then we can, our attorneys will work on the Joy Silk Doctrine, and we can make history again, and then we can demand recognition. That is our end goal, is to demand recognition under the ALU by Amazon. We're actually in the process of creating another online petition to ask consumers to support us in demanding for that recognition.
And is this, how often do Amazon facilities get unionized? I mean, I think people have heard about the Staten Island vote and the harassment of that, the leader of that cause. But across the country, is this normal or is this a very rare occurrence?
Okay, so the first part to the first answer to that question is, it's not just the leader of Staten Island that has been harassed. It is across the board with all of the employees in Staten Island that have been fired, that have been harassed, that have been threatened, and that's happening at our warehouse too. I get text messages on a daily basis of people that are in fear of being retaliated against or have been fired. I actually was able to get one of the employees their job back. I do have HR experience, so I'm able to kind of look at some of the retaliation and fight against it. So the first part is the retaliation and the harassment is across the board with all employees. So the second part is Staten Island did make history in achieving their 55% of signatures. So they were able to petition the NLRB. However, Amazon has done nothing but fight the ALU in terms of recognition. So we have the vote. Amazon just refuses to recognize the union and allow us to move forward with a contract. That's how greedy, abusive, and controlling Amazon is. They know that their employment practices not only violate the law, they really, really think that they're above the law. That's the message that consumers need to understand. Consumers are not above the law, workers are not above the law, and neither is Amazon. Yet they think that they are. So they have filed objection after objection, fighting us on to recognize our union, and we need help. Because without that, our employees in Skodak make $15.50 an hour, if they're lucky. Their raises are a quarter. How much did gas go up? I believe 60% in the last year. I mean, and if you walk into a grocery store, I got paid, you know, $300. And what am I going to buy or pay with that? So Amazon is going to continue to pay as little as they can to avoid accountability for, do you know that we, you know, six people died last year at one of our warehouses. Do you know that two people died? One of them suffered a stroke and died at the warehouse in Alabama an hour and a half after they went to AmCare and asked for help. And they died. So Amazon is literally killing people. And they failed to recognize the union. So, yes, we need that desperately.
So is there anything people can do locally or can you find out, can you give out a website with more information or what specifically are you, is there going to be a vote soon or are you just trying to get signatures or what's going on?
So right now we are getting our signatures from ALB1 in Skodak. So we want to encourage employees, you are safe, you are protected, and you have the right to sign up that petition that we, or the signature cards, the authorization. We need help from our community to support us. You can go to ALB1 Voices United on our Facebook. So that's ALB1 Voices United on our Facebook. We also have a rally on Sunday at 11 o'clock in Washington Park. We're confirming that it will be at the Lake House today. So we need community to support us. Food donations. Our employees are on food stamps and running. Our employees are sleeping in their cars. So we desperately need donations. We desperately need support. They can also contact me if they are willing to contribute. And even let our employees know we are behind you, we support you, and we will help you to demand for recognition. My number is 518-225-3803. if there's any, you know, like we asked Price Chopper to donate cupcakes on Sunday, you know, just to the rally. So we desperately need that support to send the message to our employees that, that they can feel free and they feel safe to vote.
And what would you say to just the casual shopper who uses Amazon? Do you want them to continue shopping? Do you want them to send a message? What would you say to them?
Yes, please. When you order, I encourage, when you order on Amazon, when you hit that click button, please go to the ALB One Voices United site. Please take a moment to sign the petition to recognize the union. Look at the photos. Look at the working conditions and demand that Amazon recognize the union so that we can work safely to fill those orders. Like I said, we understand people can't leave their homes. They need to order. They need specialty foods. People need things for their children, their babies. You know, when we were running low on formula, you know, it is available. So we do want to support that. We do need our jobs. But we do need that union recognized so that we can support our families and we can work safely and we can, you know, continue to work together towards the union. That's what we need. We need the union desperately. When people, as much as people need Amazon to order, we need the union.
All right. Well, can you give us that website one more time if people are interested in more information?
Absolutely. It's A as in Apple, L as in Larry, B as in Boy, the number one, Voices with an S, United, and that's ALB Boy, sorry, ALB One, Voices United, and that's our Facebook page. We're also on Twitter, but the best bet is to go to our Facebook page because I can respond to that rather quickly.
All right. Thank you, Heather Goodall, for getting us updated on what's going on in at the SCODEC Amazon Fulfillment Center and the unionization efforts there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Ocho, seis, uno.
Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXE. A show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio.
Oh, radio, radio. Uh-huh. Oh, radio.
The Radio Art Hour draws from the Wavefarm Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXE 90.7 FM.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books, Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Georgia, I'm 11, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Emily, I'm from Hudson, and I'm an adult, and I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and we have two special guests today.
My name is Alden. I am from Portland, Oregon, and I'm reading a book called Sal and Gabby Break the Universe.
My name is Mila. I am from Portland, Oregon, and I'm reading a book called Invisible.
So we're going to talk about those books and some more today. We're often joined by our friends Amelia, Mashuda, Fatia, sometimes some other special guests. But we're really glad to have Alden and Mila here today. They're my niece and nephew. We're visiting this week, so that is fun, and we're all reading lots of books. Alden just finished his, just in time for radio, like a champ. But yeah, we're excited to be on the radio today. Spread the book love.
Oh yeah.
So maybe Georgia wants to get us started today.
Happily, Emily. So I got this book from a library, and anyways, this is a really good book. It's called The Witches of Brooklyn, the first one. I haven't read the second yet. It's by Sophia Escabase, and it's a really good book. It's about this girl who moves to, so she was with her mom, and then her mom dies. So she moves in with her sort of crazy aunts, and they're really crazy, and they turn out to have magic. So I'll read the description. There's a new witch in town. Life in Brooklyn takes a strange turn when Effie discovers magic runs in the family. A middle-grade graphic novel adventure filled with magical hijinks for fans of Phoebe and her unicorn and making friends. Could there really be witches in Brooklyn? Effie's aunts are weird. Like, really weird. Really, really, really weird. The secretly magic kind of weird that makes Effie wonder, does this mean she can do magic too? Life in Brooklyn takes a strange twist for Effie as she learns more about her family and herself. With new friends who will do whatever they can to be there for her, a cursed pop star, and magically inclined aunts, Sophie's life is about to get interesting. That is The Witches of Brooklyn by Sophia Escobas. Hey, I don't know.
What did you like most about it?
The story's really good. Usually graphic novels for me, like, it's the story and illustration balance, but like, I just really especially love the story on this one.
Do you know when the book takes place?
I think modern day, like present day, I'd say.
Cool. Thanks for sharing. Why don't we hear from Mila? What book did you want to talk about?
I read a book called Invisible by Cristina Diaz Gonzalez and Gabriela Epstein. So there's basically five different kids. There's one named George, one named Sarah, one named Diane, and one named Nico, and one named Miggle. And basically they're in sixth grade, I think. They're in middle school. And the description says, and they're stuck together. When they're forced to complete this school community service hour. Although they're sure they have nothing in common with one another, some people see them all as the same. Just five Spanish-speaking kids. Then they meet someone who truly needs their help, and they must decide when they are each willing to expose their own secrets to help, or if remaining invisible is the only way to survive middle school.
That sounds really interesting.
The text is in English and in Spanish, and part of it's in color and part of it's in black and white.
Oh, so that's because, so it's actually, the reason some of it's in color and some of it is in black and white is that this is a preview copy. So it'll eventually all be in color. But Mila's reading a preview copy that I picked up at a conference.
Ooh.
So let's see when this book is coming out. Does it have a date on it? August 2nd. So as of August 2nd, this book will be released and other people will be able to read it. So that's just around the corner.
Ooh, I'm excited. Thank you for sharing that.
That sounds really cool. I think that a lot of people will be able to relate to that, being kind of grouped into a group, like being individual people that have unique qualities, but being grouped as like the Spanish speaking kids, and like how that's, maybe at some times there's benefits to being sort of invisible and like not really seen for your full self, but that it's also good to be seen and recognized for your uniqueness. So you enjoyed the story?
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite character?
Not really.
Not really? They're all cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you think people would like it?
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. So that's Invisible by Christina Diaz-Gonzalez and Gabriella Epstein. So probably one of them is the author and one's the illustrator, would be my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Did you want to share your story?
So the book I'm reading is called Sal and Gabby Break the Universe. It's by Carlos Hernandez. It's about this boy, Sal, and he is a new student at a school in Miami, and a lot of the students at his school are Cuban, so there's also some in Spanish and some in English, sort of like the book Mila talked about. And on the first day of school, he makes a raw chicken appear in someone's locker, and everybody's wondering how he did it, and the whole school thinks that he used, like, dark magic, and they're calling him a brujo, which means, like, kind of like a witch, so they're all accusing him. And he meets this girl, and she has a baby...
Gabby?
Yeah, Gabby. And she has a baby brother that's in the hospital, and he's dying. So they're trying to help save his brother, and they're also trying to figure out how to use his powers, because whenever he makes a hole from another universe, because that's how he brought the chicken in, he brought it from another universe, so they're trying to figure out how to do that without exposing things called calamitrons, which are like particles that happen when you go from another universe, and they're trying to figure out how to control his powers and also save Gabby's little brother.
Ooh.
That's awesome. That sounds so cool. I want to read that.
I think it's in a series, too. I think it's like the first in a series.
I think there's only two, though.
Yeah.
Also, they're going to make it into a show on Disney Plus.
Oh, cool. Sounds fun. So this is part of the Rick Riordan Presents series, where they have stories that often have some kind of like mythical or like cultural connection from around the world. They all sound really good, but I've wanted to read that one for a long time.
So I think
I'll have to do that.
My favorite part of the book is like the personality of each character, and I also like the story and their like the plot, and I just enjoyed the book.
Since there's a sequel, does it have like a does it feel like a solid novel, or does it have like a cliffhanger to, like, setting you up?
It definitely feels like a solid novel. I'm not even sure what they would make the second one about.
Hmm. Let me look it up. Let's see what it's called. Sal and Gabby. Oops, I wrote Gabu. So the next
Sal
one
and
is
Gabu Break the World.
Yeah, the second book is called Sal and Gabby Fix the Universe. So apparently they break the universe in the first one, and then they have to fix it. So maybe there's some, like, repercussions for what happens in this book.
Remember, Sal and Gabu.
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 It's a good name, but not correct.
Indeed. Indeed.
Thanks for sharing your book. I'm going to share a poem today, since Fatia isn't here. Fatia is often our poem share. But one of my favorite poets, possibly my favorite poet, like, if I had to name one favorite poet, I would name this poet. And she just got announced, inaugurated as the new U.S. Poet Laureate. Her name is Ada Limón, and I've read some of her poems on the radio before, but I don't know if I've read this one, at least not recently.
I thought the Poet Laureate was only done every new presidency.
No, I think it's generally every 2 years, but the last one had an extension because of the pandemic.
Oh,
okay. Or at least that was my understanding, is that they gave her a longer term because of the pandemic, sort of, because they do a lot of visits and events as part of their role, and that got curtailed by the pandemic. So I'm going to read a poem by Ada Limón called How to Triumph Like a Girl. I like the lady horses best, how they make it all look easy, like running 40 miles per hour is as fun as taking a nap or grass. I like their lady horse swagger after winning. Ears up, girls, ears up. But mainly, let's be honest, I like that they're ladies. as if this big, dangerous animal is also a part of me, that somewhere inside the delicate skin of my body, there pumps an 8-pound female horse heart, giant with power, heavy with blood. Don't you want to believe it? Don't you want to lift my shirt and see the huge beating genius machine that thinks, no, it knows it's going to come in first? So that was a poem called How to Triumph Like a Girl. It's from her collection, Bright Dead Things. And you can also find it online.
I love on that poem.
Yes.
Also, my favorite... sorry about my cat. She would not be quiet.
That's okay. We also have a cat on the radio today for our listeners who can't see. I can also read the one that I've definitely read on the radio several times, so apologies for anyone that doesn't want to hear this poem again, but I love reading it every time I see it, so hopefully other people enjoy it too. And it is called Instructions on Not Giving Up. I read this like every spring, basically. But it's not spring, but it's still good. Okay, so it goes like this. More than the fuchsia funnels breaking out of the crabapple tree, more than the neighbor's almost obscene display of cherry limbs shoving their cotton candy colored blossoms to the slate, sky of spring rains, it's the greening of the trees that really gets to me. When all the shock of white and taffy, the world's baubles and trinkets, leave the pavement strewn with the confetti of aftermath, the leaves come. Patient plodding, a green skin growing over whatever winter did to us, a return to the strange idea of continuous living despite the mess of us, the hurt, the empty. Fine then, I'll take it, the tree seems to say, a new slick leaf unfurling like a fist to an open palm. I'll take it all.
Such a good poem.
I'm not giving up. You all might have a poem you could share too. They've read some poems recently.
How about Mila just hers?
Okay, Mila can do hers. So I'm with my niece and nephew this week because we finally had a memorial service for my dad, their grandpa, or Poppy, as they called him, who passed away last fall. And they both shared a poem that my dad had written at the memorial. And Mila actually memorized hers. Would you want to say it?
Okay. Afternoon. He is gone, as all men go, though far too soon. I left with loved ones mourning this afternoon. But if the love he leaves behind becomes the currency of his soul, then he is the richest man from earth that heaven knows.
It's just a really touching poem. Just so touching. Got me crying here.
Aww. Okay, I'm going to find the other one for Alden to read. It's a very good poem.
The Gathering. As meteors sweep, as stars and planets spin, above us as we sleep our healing dreams. Or clock-like round our loved ones and our friends. The life-supplying sun descends in streams in through the morning windows of their home, so down the turning centuries of man, so have the lights of heaven ever shone on all our antecedents, kin, and friends. Now gather we, the bearers of the spark, together to renew our bonds of love and fill the vast indifference of the dark with light and celebrate this meaning of this gift of life. These friends around us here, these human suns and stars and meteors.
That was so good. These poems are really amazing.
Yeah, he wrote some very nice poems. That last one that Alden shared, it was funny. There was one time we were having, I think it was like a Christmas dinner or something, and we had some friends over for the dinner long, long time ago before Mila and Alden were here. And our friend was like, oh, I have a poem I would like to share with you all. And he proceeded to share this poem, The Gathering, that my dad had written, not realizing that it was my dad's poem.
Oh, really?
It's just like he had at some point received this poem from my dad and then didn't have his name on it, so forgot that it was by him. And was like, I have this beautiful poem I want to share with you.
That was so funny.
I think my dad was very touched by the fact that he had wanted to share his poem. But thank you both for sharing this. Yeah, so before we go for the day, does anyone have anything that they're excited about reading or doing or seeing that they want to share?
Oh, I have some news.
What's that?
So, do you know the graphic novel White Bird?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by R.J. Palacio?
Yes. So, they are going to release it into a movie.
Wow, cool.
So
it's have a follow-up to Wonder.
It's supposed to be released September 16th, 2022, but was delayed to October 14th, 2022. Crossing fingers. That will keep happening then. And I am so excited because this is one of my very favorite graphic novels. And I figured this out because I was at the bookstore looking for some new graphic novels to buy. And I saw a sticker on the copy of White Bird they had that said, soon to be a major motion picture. And I asked the attendant, I asked the woman working there, is this going to be a movie? And she said, yes. And I was so excited. And I said, yay. So I am very excited. And for those other White Bird fans, just hang in there. It's coming out October 14th, 2022, as long as it stays on schedule.
Very cool. So how about you two? Is there anything that's coming up? Or what? Like, you just finished your book. Do you know what you're going to read next?
I'm not sure. Probably something you recommend.
Okay, got to get to work with some recommendations. How about you, Mila?
I'm going to read a book called something. The one that you gave me about Snow Spy. I forgot what it's called.
Oh, yeah. I think it is called Snow Spy.
It's something Snow Spy.
Yeah. That sounded good. Cool. That's another preview copy that I picked up.
You picked a lot of preview
copies. I picked up a lot of preview copies. I have a couple of those that I'm excited to read that weren't in the group that I gave them because they were for more for teens. But I got two preview copies, although I think one of them, the book is out now. So I don't really need a preview copy, but a Casing Calendar, who's one of my favorite authors. So I'm excited. What's that?
Like middle grade and teen comic.
Yep. I can pass them along to you.
Yeah. If you want a second opinion, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. I'll definitely get some of those.
Come back to Hudson soon. So, cool. Just looking for an excuse. So, if you need a second pair of eyes.
Okay. Yep. Elizabeth's ready to read too. Elizabeth the cat. She's very excited about these preview copies.
No, be quiet.
But yeah, so I'm excited to read some of those.
My cat won't stop.
She wants to be on the radio. She's never had the opportunity.
Okay, Elizabeth. You're on the radio. Yay. Okay.
No, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, what's your favorite book?
What's your favorite book, Elizabeth? Trash Poem?
She's not willing to share. She, like most cats, she wants to share when she wants to share. Can't hurt cats. Sometimes you can hear cats, though.
True.
Since we don't always have our special guests on the radio, I'm going to ask them a question that I guess you could answer too, because they'd probably like to know what you have to say. What is one of your favorite books ever?
My favorite book ever is the first Hunger Games book.
Why do you like it so much?
I just like the plot.
Cool. How about you, Mila? What's your favorite book or one of your favorite books?
One book that I really like is...
Can you describe it? Is it one you read with Nana?
I really liked a book, but I forgot the name. It's like about two kids and they're like staying at a museum.
Oh, from the Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler? Yeah. Yeah. That was a great book.
Yeah. It's so funny.
I read part of that with Nana.
I read a book about a girl whose favorite book was the Mixed Up Files of
Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler. Mm-hmm. Is that the one that you read where she has her own like library in her locker?
Yes, that one.
Yeah.
Her favorite book is that.
That's cool. How about you, Georgia? What's your favorite book?
It's Wishy Upon the Same Stars, and it's a really good novel. It's like a middle grade young adult. Yeah, I've shared it before. It's about one Palestinian and Lebanese girl. One parent is Palestinian, one is Lebanese, and then another girl who is, her parents are Israeli. And so the one who is Israeli already lives there, and then the other girl, she just moved from Michigan to Texas, and the girls end up being neighbors and becoming best friends, but there's an Israeli and Palestinian conflict. So as it's going on, they and their parents get into fights. It's